number four, the book of Acts, chapter four, tonight. The other night at prayer meeting, about all of our preachers, or two or three of them anyway, mentioned this scripture. And we was praying down here, and the Lord gave me a message on it, and I wrote it down after we got through praying. Everybody listen carefully. I'm not going to preach long tonight. Just going to give you just a little thought here from the scripture. And this would be my desire for our church, for me, for our choir, for our singers, and just for the whole youth rally. Acts chapter 4. There was a great miracle performed in Acts chapter 3. Because Peter and John went up to the temple, you know that story, and they seen that fellow laying there, and the Lord healed him, and they shouted and praised God, and people talked about him and tried to stop it. And then let's look at verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." That's one of the great verses in the New Testament. And then notice what comes after it. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," stop right there just a second. It didn't say when they saw their education. It did not say when they saw their suit and tie. It did not say that they, when they saw their standards or their convictions or how what they did or they didn't do. It said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In their estimation, these men were not educated as they were. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. They had been with Jesus. We're always talking about the Lord's been with us. The Lord's been with me. The Lord's been with me. And I've said that 1,000 times. The Lord's been with me, and He has. He's been with us through the hard time. He's been with us through the valleys. He's been with us through the good times. He's been with us when our hearts broke. He's been with us when our bills are not paid. He's been with us when our kids are sick. He's been with us. The fault tonight is not that He's been with us. The question tonight is, have we been with Him? The Bible said they looked at them men and said, they've been with Jesus. You don't have a choice whether God's with you or not. The Lord's with you, and He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You do have a choice of whether you're with Him. You say, "What's the difference?" The difference is, He's in me, and He'll never forsake me. He's going to be with me the rest of my life, regardless, and in eternity, forever and ever and ever. If I'm going to be with Him, I'm going to have to be where He is, do what He does, go where He goes, treat people like He wants me to treat people. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. We're living in a time of fabricated Hollywood TV kind of showmanship Christianity that we've learned how to fake, I guess would be the word, how to be a Christian. And you got a lot of these ministries on TV, and people have learned to just go through the motions. We've learned how to act spiritual. Even in independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches, people have learned, you know, you're supposed to raise your hand every now and then. You're supposed to say amen. And, you know, I'm all for that. I believe everybody ought to do it. I do it myself. But that doesn't make us spiritual. That don't make you spiritual. That don't impress nobody. The only thing that's going to get a hold of a lost person's heart or impress them at all with us is that they can look at us and say, you know what? Them people have been with Jesus. they have been with Jesus. I never forget. I was preaching in little mountain churches all the time when I first started preaching. And I mean, I was 19 years old. I got saved when I was 18. I started preaching when I was 19, as y'all well know. And I remember going up in them little mountain churches up above Spruce Pine, Burnsville, up in the mountains up there, and a little place called Pigeon Roost, North Carolina. And there's two churches on Pigeon Roost. You know where it's at. They must have split. One of them called Upper Roost, another Lower Roost. That's true. That's the truth. And I guess the spiritual went on down to Upper Roost or up to Upper Roost or whatever. But I remember going to them little churches, and one night I was getting ready to go in and preach, and there's an old woman came out of the woods. And boy, she came out there, had her Bible. I came out there in her little old print dress, took it down to the floor. The ground, and she came walking up the path there before the front of the church, and she came walking like this, and her face was shining. And I said, "How you doing, sister?" And she looked back at me, and she said, "Son, I've been up there in the woods praying all day." And when she said that, I felt like I was looking at an angel. I'm telling you, that woman had been with Jesus. Now, folks, that's what we need. That's what we need, plain and simple. More than we need talent, we need somebody to be with Jesus. More than we need, great, somebody asked me, they said, "Boy, I told them what I was preaching on Friday night and Saturday night, and, you know, we more than we need a nicer building. How do you rally in?" We need Jesus. I'm telling you, there is no substitute for just being with Jesus. We've learned how to preach good sermons and sing good songs and with all this equipment that we've got and everything can make anything sound good about it. But what we need is learn to be with Jesus. These men come out of there and buddy, they preach. And old Peter jumped up and he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." And they said, "I'm telling you one thing. Them boys ain't the most educated guys in town, but them boys have been with Jesus Christ. They can tell it. They act like Him. They think like Him. They talk like Him. They have been with the Lord." You know what? The greatest reward that I could have this time next Sunday night as a preacher and as a Christian would be that all these people come from out of town. And all these folks driving all the way from Alabama. I talked to Brother Brandon yesterday and he talked last night and he's trying to get his group together. The buses tore up and a guy's working on it. And you forget about all the trouble that people have and the money of diesel gas, $4 a gallon, getting here and stuff. And you know what? The greatest reward I could have would be not that we'd have a funny skit or not that we'd have great singing, not that we'd have all, but that when everybody comes, when our choir stands up to sing, when I stand up to preach, that those people sitting in that congregation will say, "You know what? Them people have been with Jesus." You know what? We can't compete with a lot of churches as far as talent goes. We sure can't compete with people as far as preaching goes. But I tell you what we can do. We can get with the Lord this week. We can get with Jesus in our prayer closet. And that shine of the glory of God can get on our face and on our heart. And it'll make an impression on those that need to come. I talked to Brother Jack Goose the other night. He said, "Brother Danny," he said, "we can't afford a motel. I'm bringing 25 kids up there. We cannot afford no motel." He said, "Can we stay at your church?" I said, "I thought he was talking about the new church." I said, "Boy, yeah, I don't care." I said, "But there ain't no water. I mean, there ain't no hot water. And there ain't no bathrooms. And there ain't no showers." And he said, "What about the old church?" I said, "Sure. You can turn these seats around, make a bed." And he said, "Well, that's what we'll do." I said, "Go to the Eagle Motel and take a shower. I'll get one room. But there is showers over at the fairgrounds. We can get them working good. But I'm telling you what, I got to thinking about those kids sacrificing. And Brother Jack, and him staying in here. And I thought about Brandon, bringing all of them from down in Alabama. And I thought about God doing all that. Brother Ronnie Busman, whatever his name is, brother down in Rock Hill. I talked to him the other night. He said, "Brother Danny," you wouldn't believe this guy. He said, "Brother Danny," he said, "I'm bringing 65 Saturday." I said, "65? He said, "I'm bringing a bus and I'm bringing a van." He said, "I'm leaving the house at 10 o'clock Saturday morning." And he said, "Now think about this now. You that complain, some of you bus workers think, oh, it's too much trouble to take him. I mean, some of y'all that think, oh my goodness, I got a 3-year-old and I have to get him this. I ain't going." Now just listen. This man's leaving. leaving at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. He's picking up 65 kids. And if you were here last year, you know that these kids were not a honor roll, well behaved. I mean, they're like a bunch of wild animals. I tell you what. I mean, they're wild as animals. And he said, I'm leaving at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. He said, I'm picking up 65 kids and I'm headed your way. I said, come on, brother. He said, he'll probably get home at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, just so them kids could be. Because he had 23 of them got saved last year. And he said, I'm going to bring them back. We had over 100 saved last year. Last year in the meeting, God blessed in a mighty way. I'm telling you, you know what? That don't come because people sing good. But we've got it all confused. That don't come because so-and-so's there and gave a testimony. That comes because somebody sees Jesus on somebody else and says, you know what? It's real. And I want some of that. I'm telling you tonight, they have been with Jesus. I'm going to say just a few things about it tonight. And I'm not going to preach long, so you listen carefully. They had been with him. Them boys had been with Jesus. They had been with him in his blessings. They had stood there and watched the Lord feed the multitudes. They had seen him on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. They had seen the Lord. They had been with him. They could have stayed at home, but they chose to be where he was. Now tonight, you're doing a lot like the Lord by being here in church. You have been with Jesus by coming here to church tonight. What you've done, you know, when the Lord done those miracles and the multitude back there in the Bible, those people could have stayed home, but they said, you know what? Instead of staying home today, I'm going to go over there where Jesus is. There might be something good happen. So they walk across here like this. They walk across town. Where's he at? Right? They say, don't you know that them camels, feed gone up for camels, $3.69 a bag. And they said, I don't care. I want to go there where Jesus is. And they said, well, don't you know the Tar Heels is playing? And they said, I don't care. They're going to get beat. I want to go over there and see where Jesus is. And somebody said, well, don't you know that it's baseball season? And they said, I don't care. I want to go over there where Jesus is. They was with him in his blessing. And ladies and gentlemen, to be with the Lord, you've got to want to be with the Lord more than you want to be out trying to somewhere or doing something else. Simple, plain and simple. I preached that many, many times. I was down in Florida preaching years ago, down in near where the strawberry come from, down there, about the middle of Florida, near Orlando. And I got to preach on Monday night, and I said, listen, you need to be here every single night of the revival. You need to be here every night. And when I got through, there's a woman come up to me. She said, Brother Danny, she said, I heard what you said about being here. And she said, I'm a school bus driver. She said, I drove a school bus for 24 years. She said, She said, tomorrow night, which would have been Tuesday, they're going to give me a plaque and they're having a dinner to honor me. They're going to honor me for driving that bus all these years and not having an accident. And she said, I met with the principal today and she said, I'm not coming. He said, what? She said, I'm not coming. He said, what's wrong with you? She said, we're having revival at my church. I want to be over there where Jesus is. And he said, you're crazy. She said, you know, you go with us 24 years, you can go to church anytime. She said, it's the Lord that helped me drive that bus 24 years. It's the Lord that's helped keep me safe all these many years driving that school bus. And my church is having revival. And I'm going to be at my church. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to y'all tonight? This holds true for this church or any other church. Until we want God more than we want a baseball game, or more than we want a trip to the races, or more than we want to watch a horse race, or more than we want to watch God, we will not have been with Jesus until we want to be with Him more than we want anything else. Amen. That's right. That's right. He said, but I just wanted to see that game help yourself. But if you want to see Jesus and be with Him, you want Him more than you want anything else. I was preaching in church one time. No, I heard a preacher tell that he was preaching in church one time. He said, the evangelist was staying in a motel, and he said, he preached on me. He said, all week he announced he was going to preach on the home. He said, Friday night I'm going to preach on the home. The husband, wife, family, kids, all that. And he said, the pastor picked him up about Tuesday evening to go eat lunch. He said, now, preacher, he said, now, I know you've been announcing all week that you're going to preach on the home Friday night. And he said, yeah, is that all right with you? He said, yeah, it is. He said, there's only one thing. He said, my wife, the pastor's wife, he said, my wife, you see, she sells Tupperware. He said, yeah. And she has a Tupperware party planned for this Friday night. He said, uh-huh. And he said, she just didn't feel like she could cancel that Tupperware party. And the preacher said, yeah, I know you're joking. You're not telling me the truth. He said, oh, yeah. And the evangelist said, well, whatever, man. I guess whatever. That's what she... Ain't none of my business. He said, she won't be there. He said, there's one more thing, preacher. He said, all the women in our church go to my wife's Tupperware parties. He said, you are putting me on. He said, no, sir. He said, they all go. And he said, I know you're going to preach on home, and I'm sorry. And he said, sure enough, they come in there Friday night. There wasn't nothing but a church full of men. And one woman that had the nerve to defy that Tupperware party and come on the church. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Ain't that the way it goes? Ain't that pitiful? Listen, they say 20 drops of rain keep 19 Baptists at home. I mean, at least a little old thing. I'm telling you, and some of you sitting right here tonight, you'll lay out of church, you'll miss it for the least little thing, you'll go into work puking. And you'll leave. I mean, that one bugger keep the whole family out of church on Sunday morning. I'm telling you this evening, brother, if you want to be with him, you got to go where he is. You got to go where he is. You got to go where he is. Some of you need to get your priorities straight. You say, well, Sunday's the only day I got to see Grandma. Take off on Saturday to see Grandma and get in the house of God on Sunday where you need to be. Say amen right there. They was with him in his blessings. Not only that, they was with him in his burdens. If you want to be with Jesus, you're with him in his burdens. Now, what I mean by that, the Bible said one time, there's a man who was a friend of Jesus named Lazarus. And this man got sick, and he died, and they came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, they said that he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, the Lord waited 2 or 3 days there because he knew what he's going to do, and he went on over there, and before he raised Lazarus from the dead, the Bible said that Jesus wept. Now, think about that. Here's a funeral. Funeral's done over with. People sitting around maybe at the house. They're sitting there looking at pictures of Lazarus. And family brought in food. And they were sitting around there talking. And there's all that. And Jesus come in and he said, what was the last thing he said? They said, Lord, he loved you, Jesus. He'd have sure been glad if you'd have been here. And Jesus broke down and started to cry. You want to be with Jesus? You be with him in his burdens. One of the things that a Christian ought to do, and this is one thing our church we fail in a lot, because we're from so many different counties here in our church. We're spread out down towards Statesville and north, down in Valdez, and then up here in Morgan, and we fail to do this a lot. But you know, when somebody dies or somebody's sick in the hospital, you want to be like Jesus. You want to be where Jesus is. You go to where that person is. Go to the funeral home. Go to the sick bed. I don't know if some of you folks have ever visited anybody when they're sick. I don't know if some of you teenagers have ever been in a funeral home one time. And you're the same ones that when you get sick, you'll complain because nobody from the church come to see you. I've seen people do that. They say, not one person been to see me. And they've never been to see nobody one time in their life. You know what Jesus did? He went down there when the man died. You want to be with Jesus? Go down there when somebody dies. We need to improve on that, wouldn't you say, a little bit? You say, well, I don't know them. You don't have to know them. I mean, all you know is somebody. I remember I used to stop a lot of times. I'd be driving down the road, and I'd see one of them funeral signs, slow for funeral. I've done this for years. I'd just pull in. I'd walk in and say, hey, I'm a preacher. I still do. I just want y'all to know I'm praying for you. You'd be surprised what that means to people. They've been with Jesus. They've been with him in his burden. That's part of the Christian life, being doing stuff like that. Part of the Christian life is when somebody's had surgery or somebody's sick, is go down there at the hospital and say, look, I'm praying for your family. You've been with Jesus when you do stuff like that. You've been with the Lord. I know it's not fun. I hate funeral homes. I'd never go to a funeral home if I didn't have to. I'm telling you, brother, they're going to have to drag me in one of these days. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, I'm glad we can go down there. Because one of these days it's going to be the other way around, and you're going to want somebody to come see you and your family. Man, I hate them places. You walk in, everybody just sitting there. Reminds me of First Baptist. Honest. Everybody just sitting there looking straight ahead. Nobody's talking. You got this spooky organ music playing. Golly, man. I'm expecting Dracula to walk out that door. I mean, there's demons around. And them guys that work there, nothing personal. Maybe you, I'm telling you, brother, I'd find me another job tomorrow. I mean, they come out, them guys, I don't like the way they look at me. Like, we got one right back there that'll fit you, boy. You know, and their hand is cold and clammy. And they always wear them gray suits. Real bland looking. Oh, Lord. The guy comes in and he said, we're the last to let you down. I like that. I don't like hanging around them places. Man, them places people's weird. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But you know what? If I'm going to be with Jesus, that's where I need to be. When one of your family's down there, when a loved one's down there, and your heart is broken, if I'm going to be with Jesus, that's where I need to be. Oh, the Lord's with us. You say, praise God, the Lord's with us. He is. The question of that is, are you with Him? Are you with Him? Do you care? Bible said it's better to go to the house of mourning. What we've been studying on Wednesday night than the house of feasting. Number three, have you been with Him in His battles? You say, preacher, how can we be with the Lord in His battles? Well, if you think about His battles when He was here, it was like this. One time He was out there, and here's the Lord. He's standing there. Over here's all the disciples. Oh, here's all these scribes and Pharisees. And they started battles with Him. Verbal battles. Man, I love them stories. I'd like to have seen that. I'd like to have been there. Don't be scared. If you're intimidated by the world, you ain't going to stand with the Lord in His battles. Let these Pharisees come up one day, and they started a fight. Not a fist fight, a war of words. Like you have at high school. Like you have in college. You want to be with the Lord, young people? You take His side when an issue comes up at school. When an issue comes up in college, you take the Lord's side. You say, well, I don't know, do y'all ever listen to that guy, ACLJ, I don't know what is that fellow's name, Jay Sekulow. Y'all ever listen to him on the radio? He's a pretty smart fellow. And he's got this American law and justice. He's a Christian man that takes people's side in court battles. And you wouldn't believe what they got going on in this nation. You ought to hear him on the radio. It's amazing. He's more preacher than Sean Hannity, but he's a lot like Rush Limbaugh. He's like David Gibbs. He's hurting David Gibbs, but he's a center for law and justice. And that old boy, he takes the side of Christians in legal battles, and they're always having some kind of war where at college that if you don't say a certain thing on a test, you lose your grade and stuff like that. What an opportunity for young people to be with Jesus and stand for the right thing. Well, they come up there, and the Pharisees looked at him, and he said, Master, they said, who gave you this authority? Who told you you could be a preacher? Well, you haven't been to one of our seminaries. You haven't been ordained. You don't have no right to get out here and preach. Who told you that you could preach? And he looked back at them and he said, I want to ask you one. And they said, okay. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of men? They had just killed John the Baptist because they didn't believe him. And those Pharisees went back over there, and all their crowd was over here, and all the disciples was over there. And them Pharisees said, now, wait a minute. What are we going to say now? If we say it's of heaven, then he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? And if we say it was of men, and all the people, they'll quit church, and we won't get no offering this Sunday, and things are going to be awful. So they come back and they said, we cannot tell. And the Lord looked back at him and he said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And all of the disciples said, yeah, get him, Jesus. Woo! And a boy, yeah, Lord. They've been with him. Listen, brother, that same kind of thing's going on every single day in our public classrooms, out at the job, every day. Y'all listen to me. Every day you go to work, there's a battle going on out there, and you can keep your mouth shut like a Brady cat, or be a sissy, or you can stand with Jesus and say, I'm on the Lord's side. And you know what I'm talking about. And some of you scared to death stand up for the Lord where you're work because you're afraid it'll cost you points with the boss. Amen. I'm not saying being a smart aleck. I'm not talking about being a holier than thou. I'm just saying, you know as well as I know, there's stuff comes up at work, brother, and you know you can take your stand, and a lot of times you choose just to keep your mouth shut. They've been with Jesus in His battles. It might not be popular. You might not even get that raise. But if you'll stand for Him, I guarantee you He'll bless you in some other ways. But I've done a lot of standing it cost me. Man, I've opened my mouth lots of times. I told you about that time I was over in Kentucky Fried Chicken one night, and it was real dark, and it was coming a thunderstorm. I mean, the whole sky was lighting up. And I was sitting in Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I was sitting in there eating one night, and I was just getting through. And about that time, a big lightning bolt hit outside. It got pitch black, dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. And everybody in there went, whoo! Like it was full of people sitting in there. Like, and buddy, it got real quiet, and everybody's wondering what happened. And I stood up and I said, just remember, it's going to be like that quick when Jesus comes. Man, you could have heard a pin drop in there. I mean, them people sit there, and I just snuck out and got in the car and left. Left them sitting in there. I bet they woke up thinking, your light's coming on, who said that? God was talking to us. I don't know, but you know, there's all kinds of places and things that you can do to take His side. I mean, when that stupid Da Vinci Code first came out, and somebody asked me, listen, I preached against the Da Vinci Code before I even knew what it was. How's that for being narrow-minded? Everybody said, well, you should study it out. Listen, as soon as I heard it, I knew it wasn't right. You know, I don't know how. Something inside me, didn't it, you? Didn't it, y'all? Something inside me said, that's wicked. That's wicked. Somebody asked me, they said, Brother Denny, what do you think about the Vinci Code? I said, it's all the devil. I said, you know what? I have no clue what it is, but it's wrong. I just know it. You just know it. You just know it. Amen? That's what the world can't stand about us. And I sit beside this little yippie, hippie, smart aleck from California on an airplane. And he was sitting up there. He was about 24, 5 years old. And he thought he was so smart. Oh, Lord. At 24 years old, thinks he knows everything. You know what I mean? And I started trying to witness to him. And I said, the Bible said this, the Bible said that, the Bible said this. And finally, I said, I don't know why I said it, but I said, hey, it don't matter what the Da Vinci Code says. And boy, he looked back at me and he said, have you read the book? I said, no. No, I ain't. I said, but somebody told me that it hadn't Mary and Jesus getting married, Mary Magdalene, and had kids. So I don't either. I know it's wrong. And all else, have you read the Bible? They always ask us if we read it. Ask them if you have they read your book. They ain't read it. Hey, right? A man ought to read the Bible 4 or 5 times before he just dismisses it. It's not like a Da Vinci Code that ain't been out 5 years, that somebody wrote it with a motive to destroy the Bible. I'm telling you, have you been with him in his battles lately? If you was on Oprah or Larry King or something, would you stand up for him? I hope y'all don't watch Jerry Springer. Buddy, I'm telling you, that's about as trashy as you can get. I didn't know how bad it got until the other day. Brandon told me all about it. I'm just kidding. But somebody told me, so I checked it out one day, and sure enough, they have some fool on there who's supposed to be a preacher. Don't look down, I'll tell you when it's time to pray. That ain't entertainment, people. And this drunk preacher comes out with a Bible like this, saying, Lord, they had these two transvestites getting married or something, and they were getting married, and they had one person saying they shouldn't and objected to it, and the whole crowd laughed at that person like he was an idiot. And they said, let's bring out the preacher. And the preacher comes out with a Bible and opens it up and says, the Lord said you was wrong. You shouldn't judge them. And turned around and married the pervert right there in front of the crowd. And everybody cheered and made fun of the person right. You've got plenty of opportunity to stand with him in his battles today if you'll do it. You've got plenty of opportunity. Our problem is we're scared to death somebody might say something to us. We are the biggest bunch of thin-skinned, sissified bunch of Christians. We're scared to death. Somebody might get their feelings hurt or might say something to us. We're scared to even stand with the Lord that died for us on the cross. Amen. Lord, I remember when we was building the church up in Humana, we was building the building. And them guys, they're smoking pot and everything, laying the block. And somebody told me about it, and I said, no, we ain't going to have them. And one day I come up there, they had rock music blaring so bad you could hear it all over the community. And I went over there and turned the radio on Christian music. And I went off, they turned it back. I went back over there and turned it back on Christian music. And I said, boys, y'all got to listen to this. I come back a little bit later. They said, we don't want to listen to the radio. Left it off all day. And I tell you what, you know what? You can take a stand. You can say, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. You can be with him in his battles, or you can just be quiet and let the world just run over him and blaspheme his name and never open your mouth. They have been with Jesus in his battles. The next guy stood up and he said, the Sadducees. And the Sadducee says, Master, Moses says, start quoting scripture. Here's his disciples. Oh, there's the crowd. Here's the Lord. They say Moses says that if a man died, his brother should marry his widow and raise up seed to his dead brother. You know that's in the Old Testament. That's right. Amen. Come on, brother preacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And he said, now there were with us seven brethren. The first took a wife and married her, and dying left no seed. Now, if you understand the Bible, you know the Sadducees don't believe in what? Somebody tell me. The resurrection. They believe when you're dead, you're dead. That's why they call them. They're sad, you see. They have no hope of the future. And they had here this guy said, he said, the first married this woman, he died, didn't leave no seed. Second married her, he died, he didn't leave no seed. Third brother married her, he died, they was all trying to do the right thing. Married her. Fourth one married her, he died. And I'm telling you, brother, if I'd have been that fifth brother, I'd have heck with the law, wouldn't you? She done killed four of my brothers. I ain't touching her no 10-foot pole. But the fifth, I like Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly, he preached one night, and there's a woman come up to him. She said, if you was my husband, I'd put poison in your food. And he said, if you was my wife, I'd eat it. But anyway, the fifth one married, and he died. And the sixth one married, and he died. And the seventh one, doggone, he didn't die. And they all died. And last of all, the woman died also. So he said, therefore, he said, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? For they all had her. And the Lord looked back and said, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor give in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. And his crowd said, yeah, Jesus, that a boy, amen. He asked you a question. When it comes up at school, do you take his side? Or do you wimp out? Kids come to me one time, they said, Brother Danny, we don't believe in evolution. We know it's a bunch of bull. But said, if we don't answer the questions like that, we'll fail the test. What do we do? And I said, go ahead and put the answers, whatever they want to hear, on there. And made a little note at the top saying, the opinions expressed on this test are not necessarily the opinions of the student. A little disclaimer. Take his side. You know who I admire? We hear about great preachers standing up and we preach great revivals and all that. You know who I admire about more than anybody in the Christian life? Is teenagers going to a public high school and taking a beating, brother. I mean, they get spit at, they get cussed, they get made fun. I got more respect for a teenager in a public high school standing for Jesus Christ than I do about anybody. Brother, you talk about some guts, that takes some guts. You better believe it. But if you've been with him, you'll stand with him. Let me say this, and I'm through. They've been with him in his bursting forth, his resurrection. I never forget when I first started preaching. Actually, the first time I preached, I think I was 18, and the preacher, I wasn't a preacher, but the preacher asked us boys, he'd say, you want to take the Wednesday night service? So the preacher asked me. He said, you want to take the Wednesday night service? Man, I was scared, but I was excited. I wanted to do it, but I said, yeah. And I studied and I studied and I wrote down notes and I wrote stuff. And on Wednesday night, I taught on the foxes. I read it, a little tract or something about the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. And I talked about pride and jealousy and stuff like that. Man, it felt pretty good. I enjoyed it. And then I felt like the Lord called me to preach 11 months after I got saved. Yesterday, or Friday actually, was my spiritual birthday. Most of y'all know, the 18th of April. And I preached a few times. But when I preach, I sort of liked it, but it was like, golly, this is awful, man. This is the hardest thing I've done in my life. Like it just wasn't getting it done. And Bill Long, who was the pastor of Hillcrest Free Will Baptist Church in Nebo at that time, before he started Eastside Baptist now, asked me, he said, Danny, you come over and preach our revival on Saturday night. We're having different young preachers every night. And I said, yes, sir, I'll be there. And I made up my mind that I was going to get it right this time. And on Saturday morning, that morning I'd been saved about a year. That morning I got up and I got down on my knees. And I said, now, Lord, there's more to this than what I've been feeling and seeing and doing. I said, Lord, I don't want to just stand up there and talk stuff that's true. Lord, I want you to use me. God. And I went up in the woods. This is so weird. I went up in the woods behind where my neighbor lives now. That's just over a little hump from where my house is right now. Back then, there wasn't nothing but woods. I had no idea that I'd wind up living there. Over from my mom's on the hill up there in the hoppy tom. And I took my Bible and I went up there in the woods on Saturday morning and I read. And I'd read a little while and I'd pray. And I'd read a little while and I'd pray. And I'd read a little while and I'd pray. And I got down and put my face in them leaves and I said, God, if you'll only help me, God, I can't preach. God, please, God, please, God, please, God. And I begged God to do something for me. About 2 o'clock that evening, my sister hollered, Danny! Yep, Pat! I went down and I said, yes, sir. We're going to get some chicken. They want to get some Kentucky Fried Chicken. They said, you want some? And I said, no. And I stayed up there with my Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. About 3:30 that evening, I can't explain this. I'm not even sure how I believe about it. Preachers disagree. But I'm telling you something, people. About 3 to 3:30 that evening, something happened to me. God. I felt like the Lord it started coming to me faster than I could write it down. I felt like a typewriter was in my head. And I remember I knew I had it then, brother. I knew I had it. I went down the house. I took a shower. While I was in the shower, I was preaching in my head. I mean, it was inside. There's a fire burning in my soul. I'm telling you. And that night, I came to church. I knew it. I was ready. I knew it. He called on me to preach, and I got up there. And that time when I preached, I said something. It was just like bomb, boom, boom. You know, like blowing up enemy territory. And God moved all over that church. And from that night on. From that night on, things have been different in my life. You know why? It wasn't a course I took. I've been with Jesus. They took notice that them boys have been with Jesus. I've not always been with Jesus. Many times I do something stupid and walk my own way. And you always make a mistake when you do that. The best advice I could give us for getting ready for the youth rally this week is find him and just scooch up to him and get just as close as we can get. You can't have anything any greater than a bunch of people that's been with Jesus. Our choir. To me, there's no greater singing in the world than a bunch of people in a choir that's been with the Lord. I like quartet. I like solos. I like that. But in my opinion, there is nothing sounds any better than a choir full of people that's really been with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. They shine. You can see it on them. They have been with Jesus. Let's stand by here for prayer.